Hey guys, welcome back to Your Choice Health, where we're speaking about what's going on in the world. I am currently walking, so you may hear that in the background, but I'm trying to make sure I am well heard where I end up. Okay, so guys, I'm reading today and I find out there's arsenic. And what else was there in there? First of all, just plain old the fact that there's arsenic in our grape juice is horrific. This is insane, okay? I know I have been known for ruining food for people. And don't think that it hadn't been ruined for me. And I'm not trying to be like, bring people down with you, you know, misery loves company type of thing. But at the same time, I feel like we should be aware so that we don't end up hurt and then afterwards say, huh, if I would have known. So, you know, guys, Welch's grape juice has a lawsuit pending against them about the grape juice containing arsenic. Google this, guys. Look this up. This is insane. I will be coming with more things to watch out for. You know, the different alerts that come out to watch out for your different foods that may contain one thing or another for one reason or another. But so you don't buy it up and that we don't become sick for just trying to survive and eating food. Food is what I'm about. Food is life. So let's be safe with it. Again, Welch's, good old Welch's. So now I don't want to buy any of their products because when I learned about this, I also learned about that in the not too distant past, the wine had the same issue. And then now, the grape juice has this particular problem. I don't want to buy any of their products. And I like Welch's. That's what sucks. It's age-old home. You know, you say this name at home, like everybody knows Welch's. It's messed up. But anyway, folks, be well, be safe. Just had to put that out there. Thank you guys for tuning in. Howdy to you. Because that pretty much applies to any time of day that you're listening to this. I want to start off by letting you know who I am, who I be, who my me is. This is Ebony, also known as Chef Ebony, who lives food. Okay. One of my, actually like my first job was a waitress. Okay. That was my very first introduction to working in the food industry at all, but I do front of the house, back of the house. I've been in pretty much every position. I'm your hostess. I'm your waitress. I'm your prep cook. I am your line cook. I am your personal chef. I am the main cook in the whole doggone place. Okay. that's me. And that's what I do. And with that, I have come to fall in love with food, being able to create different dishes and especially from scratch cooking. Now, guys, this has been a passion my entire life. I have been known to go in my mother's kitchen, open a Betty Crocker from scratch cookbook. And because she didn't, my mother was not purchasing just random goods or sweets rather from the stores, like buying a pack of Oreos was a treat, guys. I would go and make my own cookies. Hey, we got the raw products here. I know we got flour in there. I know we have sugar. I'm about to make this happen, Cap'n. So from there, it was just, that's what I was into. That's what I did with my leisure. I learned how to make older recipes from the family, hand-me-down sweet potato recipes and cakes and so on and so forth. And it's great and delicious, right? But everything that I just mentioned are sweets. And even though that was all good, you know, I ended up backing off of that love. And that just happened with a combination of things in life. Not being able to bake all the time, not having access to that, the tools needed. But also, when I finally figured out what passion was about with my life and with me, period, and something that would always exist, because there's always going to be someone needing you to cook their food or needing someone to cook their food. I know that this was a career choice that would never end, as well as something that I clearly would do for free. And I also have done for leisure and fun. So chefing became the thing to do. When chefing came up as the thing to do, was also driven by the death of my stepfather, my father, my daddy, the man who raised me as his own since I was the age of 2-3 years old. So, you know, he's who I knew mostly throughout my life. I knew who my biological father was, but we're not going into all that. My whole point is, this was someone very close to me who passed away from diabetes complications. And so I watched it my entire life, is what I'm also trying to drive home. What he ate, how he ate, when he ate, things of that nature. And so I was very aware of what was driving this issue. So I became against the things that I knew that were driving that issue. Plus, I already liked veggies and fruits, so why not dive into another way of eating and another way of thinking? And guys, I have to move around my house while you're hearing me. So that's another introduction to me. You will more than likely hear me checking in my kitchen to make sure everything's going the way I want it to go. And we have water running in the background. But anyway, that truly drove my passion. And learning more about the entire subject. So that's exactly what I did. I went to culinary school because I wanted to learn how to be in the back of the house officially. I wanted to know what the equipment was. I wanted to know what from scratch cooking terms were, so on and so forth. So I learned exactly that. And just like I had done in any other schooling I had done, I excelled and I did it well. A's all the way through, things like that. And I say that not to just be braggadocious on the fact that I know I am genius. Thank you. But it's to that I was really into it, and I really wanted to know anything that I could possibly know, and it included the network of people I had around me. My chef instructors weren't just people who read it in a book and then they came and they regurgitated it to us. They actually walked that walk and lived that lifestyle and were in major restaurants and venues and situations and spaces that you could definitely learn from. And I'm very blessed to have had that surrounding. From there, I went straight into personal chef. I met a man who is native. His ethnicity is Indian, from India. And his family's from there and such. He lives here in Chicago. And I was able to also develop a love for Indian cuisine and learn a lot more about that. And not only that, the health benefits that exist in the ingredients that they use. So I became ingredient enthused about every health food, super food, great food. This tastes great, but this also has every single micronutrient that you can read on the back of a label. And woohoo, it does great things for your body. So let's make this taste good. And that's exactly what I had done. I was successful in transforming my entire body and my health. Going from being borderline diabetic to no sir, not diabetic. And losing several dress sizes and just watching myself completely change. I, from there, went to help with a leukemia patient who now has zero counts of cancer in her body. Guys, leukemia is a quote-unquote non-curable disease. And today she has zero counts of cancer in her body. It can be done. We can transform our lives. She has been like one of my ultimate motivations to bring out what I know to more and more people. And I've been further assisting others with either weight loss or just able to maintain while going for their health goals, to get off the medications, to get off the pills, to feel better. Just plain old feel better. And guys, I can't even explain the, we'll be on here for hours, the difference of day and night between how I know I felt 10 years ago and how I know I feel right now. And it's amazing. And to know that for multiple years, this beautiful young lady has zero counts of cancer in her body. And it's due to her change in diet and lifestyle and such. It's amazing, guys. This is all through food. People leaving from the diabetic status is amazing. And also, I got to let you guys know, I just got a notification too. So hopefully that didn't interrupt too much. We'll see. But I had to open up Your Choice Health Inc. Your Choice Health Inc. is to expose the tricks, hints, tips, tools, information, what have you, needed to achieve your best health. So whatever your goal is, we know what foods you should be consuming. And now it's no more of that frown of, okay, yuck, I don't like radishes, for example. We find out a way to get those radishes in and other foods that are going to benefit you so greatly in a tasty way, in a delicious way. In a way you're going to say, oh my God, I want that again. I never liked beets, guys. Never liked beets, ever. I buy beets on purpose these days, okay? It's just okra. I just bought okra. I hate okra. I bet you I can find, I bet you you'll eat my okra though. And so that's what this is. It's just so that, because I am able to make things not only palatable, but delicious, I can show you. I can show you. You can do it too. So now you can take your health into your own hands, and it's your choice because it's your health. That's why it's Your Choice Health Inc. Guys, that's what I'm here for, and that's my purpose. And I'm sharing this to let it be known who I am, where I'm from, what my purpose is, what have you. But know that in the future, listening, you're going to hear a number of things. I'm I'm open to talk about recipes. Again, you're more than likely going to catch me in the kitchen. But also the things I learn about and the things that are affecting my clients and the things that affect you. I want interaction between my audience and myself so that I know what it is that you want to learn about that I may already know, or what I can learn about myself or what I can find out about. And not only that, bring on people who know best. That's just the thing. I don't just come up with this stuff. What I did do schooling through was to make sure my culinary was proper, but I did not learn anything in the medical field on my own. I mean, you know, as a student or anything like that. But what you do is you go to those who know best. So those who also have that passion and focus on health, but in a natural way, and have training behind them that they also have as their passion and what they've been doing for years. I go to the experts to share with you what they know and what I practice and what helps and what works. So here it is, and here I am. Guys, eat well. It's your health, so it's your choice. Peace. Hey there, folks. This is Ebony, your chef, Ebony. Yes, yes. I'm going to go ahead and do this episode about the misconceptions that people have about veganism and vegetarianism. Now, over some years now, I've encouraged people to try plant-based diets, more vegetation in their meals, because there are multitudes of benefits to doing so. But I do not push people to become vegan or vegetarian, because I understand that is a huge commitment and change in lifestyle. But I wanted to go ahead and address some of these misconceptions I've come across that people have about being vegan or vegetarian. So very wrong. Now, number one, vegan food is boring. Nope. Nope. Vegan food is not boring. If you season your food, it can be delicious. Simply that, you know, if you just make a burger and not season it, is it not yucky? I know that answer is heck yes. So it's the same concept when it comes to your vegetables. Get deep into different recipes and different suggestions on how you can cook these veggies and put them together with different things, make new dishes, all that. Get into it. And then from there, understand that not many recipes are written with seasoning included, not necessarily to your liking. So play with it and try out different things. And salt, and that ain't what I'm talking about, okay? Sometimes things do need to get salted, yes. But when you're using different herbs and different spices and other things, it adds flavor where you do not have to oversalt your foods, okay? So again, flavor is the goal. Get into learning about what different spices and herbs can do for you. Invest in some cookbooks about that, all right? And I'm contemplating now. I think I'm going to give you guys a gem. One suggestion I can definitely give you is the Flavor Bible, guys. The Flavor Bible is banging. It is a business. Written by Karen Page and Andrew Dornberg. They have put together this amazing book that truly is a cook's Bible. Again, I'll repeat it. The Flavor Bible. There's also another called the Herb Bible. It's along the same concept. What you'll see is from A to Z, a library of different foods, just basic common foods, tomatoes, potatoes, mint, lamb, just your basic food. And then it tells you what foods go with it, what herbs pair with it, what flavors pair with it. You get these pairings like flavor affinities. You can't lose, guys. Make it interesting and take that. That was a golden nugget right there, guys. Make your food interesting. So the next misconception I've come across is a vegetarian diet will make you skinny. Also, not 100% accurate, okay? No. Well, it depends. Now, as a vegetarian, it depends on what type of vegetarian you choose to be. As a vegan, of course, you cannot have things like cheese and others. Anything made from animal, that includes honey, guys, okay? But as a vegetarian, you can choose to be a lacto vegetarian, a pecto vegetarian. Yeah, there's all these different names for it. But basically, one, you can eat fish. One, you can still intake dairy items. Others, you can still eat things like eggs or cheese. But it depends on the type of vegetarian you choose to be. So just understand that when vegetarianism is more so, you can still eat some animal products, but you're leaning more towards a plant-based diet. So that's why I encourage when I say plant-based diet, because you just want as much vegetation in your plate, more than normal. Because unfortunately, as Americans, we have this little bitty little serving, about a half cup maybe. You're asking too much if you got a half cup on your plate of vegetables. And I mean plain old vegetables. We're not talking about string beans with bacon in it. No, 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 no. We need to exit that. If you're looking for your life to be healthier as well as losing weight, we want to, you know, change our mentality and our look and focus on things and try out different flavors and change your palate, because you have the power to do that. All right. All right. So now back to making you skinny, because it did that did come up what we were just talking about as far as having meat or having other animal based products. That's not the only thing that will keep you with weight on your body. If you feel that you're at a comfortable weight and you don't need to get any thinner and things like that, I totally get that. It's called you're eating more protein. And there, newsflash. That's another misconception that was not a part of the list, but people think that you're not getting any protein when you eat a vegan diet. And that's not true, guys. Protein is found in vegetables. All right. You can definitely find, even at small percentages, you're going to find protein in pretty much every vegetable that you can find. And then also you have your legumes and beans. Okay. Your greens, like every, you got protein. All right. So please lose that thought that you're not going to get the proper protein to keep yourself alive or to build muscle or to sustain your day or whatever the fear is. Miss it. It's not, just leave it alone, because it's not true. It's have a well. Here's the thing. It brings me back to my main. I went through some time where I had a lot of dental work going on for a nice long while. So I could not eat solid foods very much. And I felt myself being hungry all the time. I am at times a workaholic. So I needed to sustain energy in my life and still be able to live life, yet can't eat the same foods that I was eating. So with that, my focus became on nutrition. Guys, become scientists for your own right. Okay, look into what's going to be the best things for you, your body, your lifestyle, and what's going on. Find out how much calories you're putting out or burn throughout the day so that you know how much you need to put in, things of that nature. We're not going to go very deep into that right now. That will become other segments. But the point is, the things to keep weight on your body are still in the foods with more vegetation in your foods. Meat is not necessarily end all be all answer to helping you maintain your weight. So you won't just necessarily become skinny. Now, if you're just eating one type of thing, like I'm eating lettuce all the time, yeah, you're gonna drop some weight. All right, and just put some variation in your food. Nutrient dense foods, guys, and a lot of it, and a lot of different types of foods. And here's another tidbit. When it comes to vegetables, all right, we got veggies versus meat. Safely, especially for us women, you want to eat 4 ounces of a meat per serving, okay, per meal. When it comes to vegetables, you can have a pound of vegetables on your plate. Whatever is going to sustain you, whatever will make you full. As far as vegetation is concerned, when we're talking about raw or, you know, fresh vegetables, real veggies, we ain't talking about canned, guys, you know, things like that. Gotta step up, visit the produce section, maintain your time there, stay there. But, yeah, you can put as much veggies as you want. That's one of your unlimited foods, all right? If you ever want to know what you can eat all the time and not have to worry about, I'm going to put on too much weight, veggies, all right? So, anyway, next misconception about veganism and vegetarianism is that vegetarian requires total abstinence from any kind of meat or fatty foods. Now, that was interjected in the prior misconception, but that's definitely it. It's a misconception, guys. It's not true. You can still have fatty foods. You can still eat some amount of fatty foods. It just depends on the type of vegetarian that you choose to be. Because even in some lifestyles, they'll just choose to eat less meat, a very small portion of meat. Ever see anybody with a chicken wing on their plate? There it is. You know, they had their meat for the day. For myself, I will say things like, because there's eggs in it, that's my meat. I don't really need any other animal protein in my diet if I were to choose that. So, all right, we're killing that misconception there. Moving forward, vegetarian food is protein deficient. Now, okay, so I'm not going to act like I did this in order and some things got interjected where they weren't supposed to be, but it still covers what I was exactly saying. There's protein in our foods. There's protein in vegetation. We're just gonna learn to love. If you're not into cooking, learn to love it, you know, and have a different, whatever it is that you dislike about it, know when you're doing anything else that you don't really love to do, you have a reason and a purpose and a goal in mind when you're doing it. So learn to love it, guys. We can put together all types of foods, and it's going to be more than sufficient nutritional-wise to sustain your lifestyle, to help you hit your goals. And, yeah, be the best you can. Be the best you that you can be. Now, here's another misconception that's funny. That vegetarians are strict beings who intend to ban people from eating meat altogether. Not true. Not at all. Especially not vegetarians. I mean, especially, I don't know. I can't speak for everybody. I can't speak for every vegetarian, vegan, whatever. They, of course, have their view and look or outlook on things when it comes to how much vegetation is in your plate or in your diet. And not everybody expresses their thoughts the best way. So please be mindful of that. I try to be mindful of how other people feel about what they're eating or not eating. But that's really, guys, have a dialogue, have an actual conversation where it's like, okay, I appreciate that you want to tell me about what's good, bad, or whatever, but right now that's not what I'm choosing. And then on the other side, guys, be mindful that you cannot force anybody to do any doggone thing, because think about yourself, could nobody force you to do anything? The next thing is, be respectful of what their choices are. It's cool to share the information, but be mindful about how you approach it, because food brings on feelings and that subject can, it could turn sour. But anyway, so guys, you know, be mindful of each other and where each other's lifestyles are and things of that sort. So anyway, getting me to our last point, which again, I interjected on earlier points, but I will repeat. You will never be full on vegan food. Guys, misconception. Did I just not tell you can eat a pound of veggies and not like say, oh my God, I'm about to gain 15 pounds because I, oh no. But if you eat a pound of meat, my dude, oh my God. So much issues, like forget gaining weight. Like, can you even pass that through your body? Do you know how long that's going to take to digest? Do you know how much? I mean, like, some people are used to that, but you understand that's the people that are used to that. That's why they are el gordo. Okay. All right. Cause they got it's still there. It's still there. That's why cleansing is a thing that is a part of life that should happen more regularly with people. But to alleviate some of the pain of that cleansing while you're eating, you know, like calm down on that sludge, because that's really what it ends up being. Now, again, don't get me wrong, born and raised, meat eater, still eat meat, you know, but vegetation is king. And if I was to only have vegetation available to me, okay, praise the Lord, and I got food, you know, it's because I understand, and that's why I want to share what a meat eater's diet can do to your life. And if you've ever had anybody else in your life, if it's not you, that has had some real medical issues, guys, some of our cancers are preventable. Diabetes is preventable. High blood pressure is preventable, unless there's some other outstanding circumstances. Things of that nature that is so prevalent in our communities is preventable, and it's caused by our diets, our sad ass diets. Okay, standard American diet. Oh yeah, let's go eat a Whopper with some fried fries and this sugary drink. Like, that's not a meal. What happened to the whole foods? What happened to Granny's greens and string beans and beans and all that good? Man, boy, I want to drink greens, potatoes, tomatoes. I couldn't even get that out. Like, besides the hog mog, all the whole food she just named, that is the business, y'all. Get back in the kitchen, y'all. Bring your family. I mean, like, with the children and all that, you know, when you get comfortable, because I ain't gonna lie, that is a distraction and it can be, you know, an intense moment if you're not used to it. But, yeah, that was my message for you guys today. Sharing some of the misconceptions people have about veganism and vegetarianism. And I wonder why. It's like, why are you crossing your fingers as if I'm the devil? I've been told before, I eat sticks. What did she say? Because you want to eat seeds, stems, and rocks and shit. And I say, what? No, baby. No. What is the fear? What is the issue? What is the problem with what I eat versus what I understand what you eat, and I know you haven't been on this side, so just like, hey, it's cool. Boo Boo is your friend. I'm getting word from the peanut gallery that the issue is you have the Boo Boo all the time. Boo Boo is your friend. He's learning to enjoy that shit because it's like, hey, you're moving all the crap out of me. You're cleaning me out, and when you don't you, ain't there been plenty of times you've left out the bathroom? I feel so and so pounds lighter. Don't that feel better? Don't you feel more free? Just, I mean, even if it's just to sit, shit, I can sit without my stomach feeling so lapped over. Like, what the heck, y'all? Come on, now you're getting me into the me. I was just trying to share some information. All right, so anyway. Love. This is all from love. This is all from peace. Be well. Eat well. Peace. All right, guys. So I'm coming across a news story recently. This is your chef, Chef Ebony. And I need to share it with everyone, as I did with the wonderful arsenic found in Welch's products. I wanted to bring up some news that's not really news, but it has been brought up again. And yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and play it. It was on a local news station, the WHNT Channel 19. I'm not sure where the heck that is, but I know it's not a national news. So anyway, with that, I'm going to go ahead and play it.
The company 3M has admitted to dumping toxic chemicals into the Tennessee River for a decade. In violation of the Toxic Substances Control Act, the illegal scheme went on for year after year while the state of Alabama knowingly, intentionally turned a blind eye. RT's Brigida Santos joins me now from Los Angeles to talk about this story. Brigida, as you know, I've handled massive environmental cases all over the country. This one's no different. It's government looking the other way, thinking that taking all types of benefits from the corporation and just letting them get away with it, kind of just closing their eyes to it. What chemicals did 3M dump into the river, and how harmful are they to humans and to the environment?
Mike, records from the Alabama Department of Environmental Management show that 3M began dumping FBSA chemicals into the main waterway in northern Alabama as early as 2007. FBSA is shorthand for perfluoroalkane sulfonamide. It's a mouthful. The industrial chemicals are typically found in detergents, in stain-proof or waterproof products. They've been listed on the Toxic Substances Control Act since 2009, which is when the EPA first prohibited 3M from releasing FBSA because the agency hadn't yet studied the potential health risks. Well, it's now a decade later, and very few toxicology studies have yet to be conducted on the chemicals. So we still don't know exactly how harmful they are to humans or the environment. But what I can tell you is that FBSA is a newer short-chain PFAS chemical. These are so-called forever chemicals that persist in the soil and water for long periods of time, even after they started getting phased out in the early 2000s, because studies then showed that they are incredibly harmful to human health. While these newer chemicals may not be as likely to accumulate in human or animal tissues, they are still very resistant to breaking down, and they might be less effective, which would cause them to be used in greater quantities. They're also incredibly weakly regulated. There are no current enforceable federal standards for PFAS in drinking water and no enforceable maximum contaminant levels. You know, we're talking about this happening in one waterway in Alabama, but this is a problem across the country.
Yeah, well, we're handling the C8 issue all over the country. That's the case that I handled up in the Ohio River Valley, where DuPont poisoned the drinking water of about 70,000 people all up and down the Ohio River Valley with a chemical, by the way, that was made by 3M. This particular chemical you're talking about, I want to point something out. The industry tries to say that this is not cumulative, that it moves through the body and it doesn't cause any effect. Well, that's just not true. What happens is the repetitive exposure to the chemical day after day, exposure in all kinds of ways because of the way that this has been dumped into Alabama. That repetitive exposure causes cellular damage, okay? It actually affects the DNA in human beings. So this, the industry argument is, well, it's just moving through. That is a lie. Look, other toxic chemicals developed by 3M have also been found in food products across the country. What can you tell me about those chemicals? Understand, these are chemicals that the industry understands is ending up in baby milk, you know, in baby formula. It's in vegetables. It's in all types of food. Give me your take on that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up DuPont, because people forget that 3M is the original manufacturer of the toxic chemicals that I just mentioned, known as PFOS, and also PFOA, and those were most notoriously linked to DuPont and its Teflon products. But 3M is the company that started it all, and it's absolutely responsible for these toxins making their way not only into American waterways, but also into our food products, everything from ground beef to bread to apples, green beans, sweet potatoes, chocolate cake, you name it, it's in there. The chemicals are so harmful that even low-level exposure has been shown to affect human immunity, reproduction and development, and cause thyroid disease, heart disease, kidney problems, and various forms of cancer. What's worse is that the EPA has known about the danger and presence of PFOS and PFOA in food and water for years. 3M has also had evidence about the dangers associated with its chemicals since 1978, but it downplayed, spun, or tailored its own research to make these toxins appear safer.
Well, the EPA, I don't know if you know this or not, but they actually tried to hide the results of scientific studies on this product for a very long time. And I tried 5 cases up in the Ohio River Valley. We're talking about basically the same kind of product here. In every one of those cases, the juries came back and they found that it was a direct causation to the chemical that caused kidney cancer, testicular cancer, all types of gastrointestinal problems. And of course, there's the issue is out there. It's very clear to me that it also causes birth defects. And so the point is this: if you believe the EPA has been out watching this and doing something about it, they've been part of the problem, and that's what's so bothersome about this. What they've tried to do is protect the military in a large part, because the military has used this product in their anti-firefighting foam that they use, and it ends up going right into the waterways, and it doesn't go away. It's something that builds up in the environment year after year. Regina, thanks for joining me. This story has just started, because this stuff that you're talking about is basically in everybody's blood right now. And there's been all kinds of physical abnormalities related to it. So it's just going to get, this story's going to continue. But thank you for joining me.
So, hearing that nice little story right there, we ever wonder why? I mean, it feels like one of those direct lines to the, an answer to the question, what's wrong with the world today? You think? It's in our water, it's in our food, we're being affected negatively, guys, by what's around us and big corporation waste and tons of just bad corruption, man. And another light to that note, yay! A lot of the laws for trying to police those things have been overturned by the current administration. So we got a lot of work to do, guys, to try to fix that crap. But I wanted to just let you guys know what's really going on in the world. I do encourage eating. I do encourage eating healthy and paying attention to what you're putting into your body. So this is a part of it. When you're aware and you know better, you can do better. Check out my article, 4 Ways to Properly Clean Your Fruits and Veggies. I'll be sharing it on my Facebook group, Your Choice Health Inc., Eating for Life, as well as some other places and platforms I can't think of right now, loves. I'm just wanting to put that out there. Yes, that's about it. Peace, love, be well, eat well. Peace. I just ended a conversation. It was pretty good. Of course, we covered all types of things, considering this has been a very long-term friend, basically my family, and my goddaughter. We went on and on about everything, of course. But one subject that kept coming up was weight loss, and the other was eating for the maintenance of health. So basically, I want to lay some things out to share with others some of the points that really were important to touch on. I was asked about my eating habits. For those who have known me for a number of years, you would see that I have lost a nice amount of weight and have gone down multiple dress sizes. And this has all been due to food. The only thing physical that I would say is different is that I sit down less and I'm actively moving around when it comes to work. Otherwise, it's all food. So, what do I do? My normal ideal routine would be to wake up and drink something first. Now, that something is not just anything. It's more than likely going to be either water or tea. I'm not going to drink any juices because here's the thing about juice that we need to keep in mind. When it comes to our store-bought juices, regardless of the name, our Tropicanas, whoever, it is pretty much void of any nutrition. When the juice is processed and made to go into that bottle and taste all delicious, to us anyway, at least our brains are telling us that, just really quickly with the process it goes through, the fruit is broken down, it's mashed down, but then it's also pasteurized, meaning it is heated up, basically cooked, and then stripped of all of its vitamins and nutrients and put into some type of valve or something. And I think they even take oxygen out. I'm not sure if that's one of the steps, but basically it's made to be able to preserve, to be able to sit for a long period of time. Yeah. So that means it took all the natural stuff out because naturally it would rot or ferment or whatever, if those stripped ingredients were included. So those stripped ingredients is actually what we need. We need for maintenance of our health, guys, and for whatever health goals we have. So we want to eat the fruit, which still is supposed to have those ingredients, and as opposed to the juice. Another point I want to make about that fruit. See, this is why this conversation went on so long, because this is kind of segue. But anyway, you want to make sure it's seeded. You want to make sure it's a natural fruit. We have a problem with GMO in America, guys. So it is somewhat difficult. It's something that doesn't come so quickly, easily. But you want to find fruits that have seeds. You want to have vegetables that have seeds, okay? Non-GMO, as I stated before. Basically, I just received a message, guys. Got a little distracted, but basically, this is what we want. This is what we want in our lives, in our diets, and that's the type of foods you want to take in. So my very first thing will not be fruit. It will actually be, like I said, the liquid. Another reason why it's the very first thing, the tea and or plain water, is because we need hydration. We just basically, everybody fasts, and we don't look at it that way because, well, heck, we're sleeping. But during that sleep, we are fasting. We're not taking in any foods, any drink, any anything. So that's why breakfast is called breakfast. Break fast. You're breaking your fast. So to break that fast, we need to hydrate, because a lot of times it will be the case that we feel hungry and actually our bodies are thirsty. Okay. I'm not saying that you're not hungry at all, but That thirst component is something that gets ignored and is easily missed because it comes off as hunger only. So we start eating right away. from there, I like to stick with foods that have a high water content, and that's throughout my day. So one thing that was suggested to me that I found is that you eat a bowl of berries in the morning. One thing about that I like a lot is that you could find that easily frozen. And so you're able to get it relatively inexpensive as well as just easy to manipulate. It mixes well with oatmeal if you were to have it like in the winter time or something. When you are actually finally eating your foods and your meals, that would typically be something I would eat in colder months. That would include the oatmeal, or maybe even quinoa, some type of porridge in the morning, or rather as my second consumption, for lack of a better term, because again, my very first thing in the morning is to drink something. And then the next thing I would do would be to eat something that has fruit, and more fruit. I can move on to grains from there, a little heavier content of food. And then I may have meat midday. So in my lunch, I'll have a lean piece of meat, whether that be chicken or fish or what have you. I'm not really liking the idea of that, but I'm not quite vegan. So if I were to eat something with meat in it, those would be the two choices. Yeah, I'm not going to, because a part of me wanted to go further into that conversation, but we're just going to stick with the original conversation. What do you eat? And what I also find is just as important is in what order do I eat it in? So that lean piece of meat is definitely accompanied with a high water content veggie. And basically, if you're getting whole vegetables, everything has high water content, not just the lettuces, but of course, greens. Of course, our zucchinis and cucumbers. The list goes on and on. Just spend some time in your produce section and find out what other dishes you can make from those pieces. But I'm going to end my day with basically a vegan and or vegetarian dish. So for those who are still, I guess you can say, meat eaters, that would be a good way to still get your nutrients in, eat a lot more vegetation, get your hydration in, and this way you'll be well on your way to either getting your weight down, maintaining your weight, and even addressing some health issues you may have, such as diabetes and such. So guys, that's just a quick blurb on what to eat and the ideal order to eat it in. So really quickly, I'll try to go over it. We have very first thing in the morning. We want to drink some tea. We want to drink some water. We want some hydration. The next thing we want, a whole fruit. We want the actual fruit. We want to eat that. Then we'll move on to heavier foods. So if you were to have some type of oats or grains, that's fine. In your lunch, you want to include a lean piece of meat if you're going to eat meat. In your dinner, you want a heavy vegetation dinner. Okay, so whether if it's vegan, we already know all vegetable guys. You want to stay light on your grains. And if it's vegetarian and you include some form of meat or animal product, again, it's still going to be heavy with vegetables. light on grain, light on things like wheat, rice, other things of that nature. Oh, and breads. All right. So hope that helps you guys out. Be well, guys. Eat well. It's your health, so it's your choice. Just trying to give you some tidbits on how to make one of those choices. Peace. Hey there, lovely people. I'm glad you're out there hearing me right now, because that means you're alive, because I'm alive, because we alive, and it's great to be alive. So I wanted to hit you guys with some more info shared in conversations I have had when it comes to eating well for your life, for your health, or even with specific health goals in mind. We talked one of the subjects. Okay, yeah, I was trying to get how to start that one. We spoke about a lot of different subjects, but one of them was a question about slowing down the consumption of pop or soda pop. All right, so these carbonated beverages, lovely. They rot at your teeth. There's so many reasons. I'll start with the reasons why we need to stop if you haven't already known this or wasn't told. They eat at your teeth. They eat at your gut. We usually get the, oh, it helps me burp or it helps me digest. Guys, it's eating at your gut and your lining and your esophagus and everything else that it comes across, because especially Coca-Cola, Lord, everything is, but Coke is really strong. It's all acid, okay? It has an acidic effect to your body. We want to think about eating more in the alkaline realm of foods, and that is completely opposite, okay? There's nothing base or alkaline about it. So when it is basic, I don't want it. The pop, it just is syrupy sugar. Nobody wants that. So anyway, on top of that, that syrupy sugar is going to add on tons of weight. So just by stopping drinking these sugary beverages, you'll be eliminating some weight, guys. So let's go over how you can go about doing that. Now, honestly, growing up, I did not like water. I had, I guess you can say, bourgeoisie taste buds. And I knew that faucet water just did not taste right. My dad didn't care. As long as it was cold, it was good to go. So, growing up, or rather being an adult, and even I should say more recently as an adult, I learned to like water so much more and implementing it in different meals or just different times of my day. Now, if you heard me talking about what I eat and when, I actually start my day and go throughout my day with water. Water is definitely key. First of all, it's going to keep you hydrated so you're not searching for something to drink. And then it's also just learning what else to drink besides that pop or soda during your meals. Even when it comes to in between meals, very, very valuable. Another thing that I suggest is that you start making your own beverages at home. That includes your teas and lemonades and limeades and any of your aids. I don't really suggest Kool-Aid or really the powdered store-bought beverages, because then we run into the same situation, the same issues. Where are the ingredients from? Can you pronounce the ingredients? Is it actually, I don't even want to use the word natural, like, because natural gets abused in the industry. But is it natural? Is it real? And guys, no. The answer is no. So no powdery stuff, but make your own out of the whole fruit. Pineapples are amazing at making beverages out of. Boil the skins too. You get the bromamine that is naturally found in the actual fruit, pineapple. So I'm not talking about canned pineapples here. But all of these things help you in your health, as well as losing weight, guys. So pineapples are a good suggestion. Of course, our lovely lemon, our lovely lime. And I'm in the back of my mind right now, I'm thinking about experimenting something with an apple or something. But look up different smoothie ideas. The whole point is that you want to control your sugar content. And you want to not take down acid, okay? So that also really very much so helps you replace your consumption of liquids from being your acidic pops or sodas, or even your store-bought juices, because you cannot control what is in there versus, like I said, making something at home. The majority of the things I talk about are going to be about things that either you make at home or can make at home. So if I purchase something in the street, I need to know it's something that is possible to make the same exact way at home. Why? Because these are whole ingredients. These are you, for the most part, know where it's coming from, and you don't have to worry about it hurting you nutritional wise or in your life. So guys, those are just a few tips on how you can go about replacing your store-bought acidic drinks, pop or soda, whatever region you're listening to me from, however you refer to it. Take that stuff out your diet, guys, to help you with your health, with your goals, weight loss, what have you. Everyone, eat well, be well. This was your chef, Ebony. I was going to say EBZ. If you know me, I go by EBZ at times to times. But anyway, peace, guys. Love, be well.
Pineapples. I don't want to do it.
Hello, fellow humans, people of the universe. Okay, so anyway, I was wanting to share this info about this yummy, delicious summer fruit. Pineapples, baby. All right, so I'm just going to list off a bunch of info, and because it's so cool. One thing that's really cool that I did not know before I looked it up is that the little, when you look at the pineapple from the outside, it has these sections. The pineapple is made up of many individual berries that are fused together around the central core, guys. Each scale is an individual berry. So I saw this video that's been viral, at least on my feed, and they're picking off pieces piece by piece, like by the berries, to be able to eat the fruit. I haven't been able to successfully do that, but that looks really flipping cool. So if anybody else knows how to do that, hit me up. Let me know. Also, a really cool piece of info about about pineapples is that pineapples have high amounts of manganese. This is important for antioxidant defenses. And it also contains a vitamin B called thymamine, which is involved in energy production. They're also fat-free. So you are winning right there. There's only 16 grams of sugar per cup of pineapples, okay? don't use canned. We're only talking about fresh fresh pineapples right here. Because the pineapples canned in light syrup contains 32 grams of sugar per cup of pineapples. And the vitamins and minerals aren't there due to the canning process, okay? Now, your immune system support, bone strength, eye health, digestion, anti-inflammatory benefits, blood clot reduction, mucus reduction. All of these benefits come from pineapples, baby. But be sure not to overconsume. Just a good old tummy ache. Nobody wants that. There is such a thing as too much of a good thing, okay? Remember that it's pretty acidic, okay? Your stomach is gonna hurt. So, just a few things about pineapples, what makes them so good, so great for you. Remember to get them fresh. Summertime is best, more like July. It really depends on where you live. Get them fresh. Get them in season. Live well. Eat well. Peace.